Heavenly Father, our Lord and our God, it is a privilege to be here this morning. It is a joy and it is a blessing. Father, we give you thanks for another day of life, another day full of opportunity to evaluate ourselves, to look into your holy word for the instruction that is relevant to us, and Father, to improve upon the purpose of our existence here, which is to glorify and honor your holy name. Father, please bless us this morning, that we would have open hearts, open ears. Father, that we would be in tune with thy Holy Spirit. Father, I pray a blessing upon myself, your weak servant, who is but a vessel for your truth. Father, please help me to speak the words of truth in a way that would be easily understood and that would be relevant and applicable to our daily lives. Bless us again and be with us, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. So this morning, I'd like to begin with reading one verse in Scripture. It's a succinct proverb that speaks a lot of truth to our lives. It's found in Proverbs chapter 27. And I'd like to look at this one proverb in the context of the rest of Scripture. So we're going to begin with one verse. Don't worry, we're going to read a whole bunch more. But if you would turn with me to Proverbs chapter 27, I'd like to read verse number 6. Proverbs 27, verse number 6. The proverb says this: faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. We're going to start right here. So pain is a ubiquitous word. It's something that we experience all along our journey of life, beginning from the moment you were born, and, you know, thank God you don't remember, because that was probably a traumatizing experience as you were being born, but from the pain that you first experienced when you were born to the moment when a child bumps his or her head when first learning to walk, to the moment when a toddler who's learning to ride his or her first bike falls and scrapes their knee, to the point when a child first disobeys their parents and maybe gets a spanking, or a child fails a test and feels a different type of pain now. It's not so much a physical one. Maybe it's now more of a mental pain. To the point where a child feels, or maybe a young adult feels rejection, and now they're starting to feel an emotional pain. Right? So pain is a near constant companion upon our journey of life, beginning from the moment we begin life to really every single phase of life up until essentially the very end, where every time we move, there's creaks and there's groans and there's aches and there's all manner of pain that we experience physically, emotionally, mentally. You know, it has a negative connotation, this word pain. We often associate it with things like suffering. We associate it with things like punishment. We associate it with things like moral failings. And yet, the reality is pain is not inherently a bad thing. You know, we're scared of pain. We don't want pain. We avoid pain. But pain is not inherently a bad thing. Pain is, if I can say it this way, it's like a warning light on your car, and it's telling you that something is wrong and you need to make a change. Something is bad and it needs to be fixed. Something is broken and it needs to be fixed. The nature of pain is that it brings to our attention a problem. Pain is also an extremely strong motivator for learning. The first time you put your hand on a hot stove is going to be the last time you put your hand on a hot stove. So we see that pain is not inherently a bad thing, and yet we don't like it. We don't like it. Sometimes we think that life would be better if we were numb to pain, if we didn't have any pain. And yet, without pain, we would actually suffer irreparable damage. There's a particular condition. It's called congenital insensitivity to pain. Those of you that are in the medical field have probably heard of this before. It's extremely rare. It's where somebody is born without the ability to feel any pain. And so we think this sounds absolutely great, because now I can do whatever I want and I don't have to suffer the consequence of feeling pain. But if we look at some of these cases of people that have congenital insensitivity to pain, CIP, what happens is they often experience irreparable damage at a young age. There was an instance where this young boy named Roberto, he seemed like a perfectly normal child when he was born, but by the time he was three, he had bit off a part of his tongue, and he had mutilated his fingers, because when children are teething, what do? They shove their hands in their mouth. Well, you know, pain is what has you go, that hurts, I'm going to take my hands back out of my mouth. You can't feel pain, and you gnaw on your fingers until they're almost falling off. There was a little girl named Gabby who, at a young age, she actually was scratching her eyes, didn't feel any pain. She blinded herself in one eye. She had to, the doctors had to actually sew her eyes shut for a while to save her eyes. And even up to the time where she was 11, she had to sleep with goggles so that in the middle of the night, in her sleep, she wouldn't damage herself irreparably. It's a terrible condition. But it goes to show the reason that God created us with a nervous system to feel pain. It has a purpose. So this sermon right here, looking at Proverbs 27:6, focuses on two different sources of pain. And the two sources of pain are going to be hurt and harm. Now these words are synonyms, and for those of you that are grammarians, don't give me a hard time, because I'm going to tell you what I mean by these words, hurt and harm. So the word hurt, if you look in the dictionary, talks about a physical injury, but it stops there. The word harm is a physical injury, but especially with an intentional, especially that which is deliberately inflicted. And so there is a Christian psychologist named Dr. Henry Cloud, who wrote about this topic when he was talking about boundaries and he was talking about accountability. And he mentioned this. He said, when it comes to hurt and harm, he draws a distinction by saying hurt causes pain, but harm causes damage. And so hurt causes pain, but harm causes damage. I'm going to give a few examples of that to give a little bit extra context. And this is an example from Dr. Cloud. So imagine you go to the dentist because you have a cavity and he needs to drill your tooth out. Is it hurt or is it harm? Well, it's hurt. It causes pain, but it doesn't cause damage because the dentist is trying to fix your tooth. Okay, when you were eating the candy that led to the development of the cavity, was that hurt or was that harm? It didn't hurt. The candy tasted great, but all along it was harming you. It was creating something that was going to lead to actually a significant source of pain if not dealt with. Now, when your sibling assaulted you because you didn't share your candy, was that hurt or harm? It was both, right? They're trying to cause you pain and they're also trying to cause damage. So we see in this context that hurt and harm, the way I'm using them, are related, but they're not the same. Okay, this is important because we're going to get to that here in this proverb. I'm setting the stage before we jump into Proverbs 26:7. At this point, this message could take a lot of different roads. We could talk about the idea of hurt versus harm on a physical level, on a mental level, on an emotional level, and I don't want to dichotomize our existence. We are all of these things, but I would like to look at it specifically on a relational level that has spiritual impact. Because Proverbs 26 is talking about a relationship, and it's talking about one in which there is a spiritual impact. So if Proverbs 27:6, excuse me, faithful are the wounds of a friend, so there's a relationship of friends, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. There's a relationship with an enemy, and somehow one in which kisses are exchanged. Let's look at three different relationships here. The first one is going to be what I call a relationship of accountability. One is going to be called a relationship of negative influence. And the third is a relationship with the Creator. Now, within these contexts, we're going to look at hurt versus harm in each of these relationships. So, in a relationship of accountability, an example of what this might look like. This might be the relationship that, you know, I have with a fellow brother or sister in Christ. Maybe particularly somebody that I want to be held accountable to, or I want to hold accountable. This could also look like a relationship between a parent and their child. Now, this relationship is more unidirectional. The children are not necessarily holding their parents accountable, but the parents are trying to hold their children accountable. So these relationships of accountability are captured in the first part of Proverbs 27:6. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. Is this picture hurt or is it harm? Is it hurt or is it harm? It's hurt. Wounds hurt, but here these wounds are called faithful. It's not harm. It's not intended to cause damage. So now we get into the topic of admonition, right? Faithful are the wounds of a friend. In the context of admonition. This is an incredibly important aspect of meaningful relationships, especially Christian relationships. I think this is probably one of our least comfortable responsibilities as believers. It is probably the least comfortable. It is the one that we want to avoid the most. We love having encouraging relationships. We love having the opportunity to lift someone up. And yet we don't like these opportunities that come our way to hold one another, another accountable, especially when someone doesn't want to be held accountable. This is where things get really difficult. You see, it's not always easy to hear or even to give admonition. We don't like to receive admonition. We consider it a wound. A wound to what? A wound to my pride? A wound to the false reality I've been living in? Because now this illusion that I've had of my life is now under attack by somebody trying to bring an element of truth in? We don't like to hear admonition. And yet this is extremely important to addressing our blind spots. This is the faithful part. You know, that word faithful, when you go to the root of that word, because I was interested to know what it means, one of the aspects of this word is actually to support. The word is supportive. So think about it this way. The wounds of a friend support you. They are intended to support you in what way? In your development, in addressing the blind spot that you can't see. You can't see it, but I can. Or maybe you can see it and I can't. But the reality is that relationship of accountability allows us to support one another. You know, we have a tendency to resist hurting somebody because this aspect of giving wounds. I'm your friend and I have to tell you something and it's really hard, but it's going to hurt you. And I don't want to hurt you. You know, that's how we think. And we think, well, as a believer, I'm not supposed to hurt you. And if I tell you this, it's going to hurt your feelings. There are a lot of different ways we can say something. So I'm not suggesting that, you know, we should all go guns blazing, you know, accountability relationships to cause harm. But inevitably, when we speak truth, there's going to be an element of hurt, possibly, in having to face truth. We don't want to hurt somebody. We need to stop thinking about, I don't want to hurt somebody, and think, well, I don't want to harm somebody. Or specifically, I don't want somebody to be harmed. And maybe when I share this admonition, this person's going to be hurt, but it's better than them being harmed. So 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 gives us an insight into this relationship of accountability between Christian believers. Verse number 14 says, If any man obey not our word by this epistle, note that man, and have no company with him, that he may be ashamed. Okay, that's pretty serious, right? I mean, this is now we're talking about biblical instruction. And this is something that is going to really hurt somebody. If somebody is disobeying a critical doctrine of the word, and it's gotten to the point where they won't listen. There's another portion of scripture that says the heretic, after a second or third admonition, reject. So there's this element of somebody is being disobedient to the word of God, and now you have a responsibility to mark that person, you have a responsibility to separate yourself from that person, and we as people and as Christians think that's just so counterintuitive. How am I showing them God's love? Let's look at verse 15. Yet, count him not as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother. And so we see these are not kisses of an enemy. These are wounds of a friend. This is the element of admonishing someone as a brother with a hope and with a purpose. And that purpose is this hurt serves the purpose of restoration, of bringing the brother back from his erring way into the truth of God's word where he is really going to be secure. It's that type of a relationship. that you don't want someone to be harmed, so you're willing for them to experience hurt that they would not be harmed. There are a lot of biblical examples of this. I'm just going to highlight one of many. One would be when the prophet Nathan approached David after David had committed a grievous sin. Nathan came to him with a story, and at the end of the story, when David pronounced judgment against the main character of this story, Nathan turns around and says, "You are that man. This story is about you, and I'm talking about you." This is a relationship of accountability. Imagine the emotions David felt as soon as he realized that this story was about him. He was the one that was in the wrong. He was the one being admonished. I'm sure he felt significant hurt, but the intent was that he would repent and be restored. Okay, let's look at the second relationship here, the relationship of negative influence. Proverbs 27, verse 6, the second half says, "But the kisses of an enemy are deceitful." This is a relationship of negative influence. There are lots of examples of this, and one could be the relationship that a believer has with maybe an unbeliever, and I want to be careful about how I say this. This is not exclusively the case, and there's a lot of context here. When a believer in Jesus Christ has a relationship of influence with an unbeliever, and that person is implementing the doctrine of Balaam to convince them to go a different way, this is now what we would call a relationship of negative influence. This is what happens when there is peer pressure for us to draw away from God and to indulge in sin. This is a relationship of negative influence. These are examples of what that might look like. The kisses of an enemy are deceitful. Does this relationship bring hurt? It doesn't bring hurt. Everybody loves kisses, right? Does it bring harm? Absolutely. And now we start to see how those two are different, hurt versus harm. You see, when we receive affection and validation that is not biblically grounded, it actually is to our spiritual detriment. It actually produces something damaging to us. And so this often comes in a form that makes us feel loved, and we feel accepted, and we feel appreciated. This is that picture of kisses. Why is it the kisses of an enemy? The kisses, that's kind of strange, you know? Because this idea of kisses is an idea, it's a picture of love and acceptance and affection. And yet, when this comes to us and it's not grounded in a God-honoring relationship, it is actually detrimental to us. And it serves to draw us away from God. Now, it is not the sole thing that would draw us away from God, but it is a catalyst that drives a wedge between us and God. This word, deceitful, has another meaning behind it when you look at the root of it. It's interesting. The word is actually to multiply. So I literally thought it was going to be to deceive, as in to present one thing but be another thing. The reality is the root of that word means to multiply or to be abundant. And so now this picture of deception gives us a little bit of a different idea. It's something that multiplies and grows. You see, this type of a relationship of negative influence isn't something that happens on a single occurrence. It's something that happens once, and then it multiplies, and it grows. And this wedge that's being driven between us and God serves to really push us apart from Him. I'd like to say that in my personal experience, because I've experienced this with some of my closest friends, with some of my closest school friends, I've experienced a relationship of negative influence. And I want to say this. Most often, it's not intentional that this person who's negatively influencing me wants me to do the wrong thing. You see, most often, they have a different worldview than I. They have a different idea of what's good and what's bad and what's right and what's wrong. And that's not aligned to begin with. And now, they really do want me to feel accepted and loved. But the worldview or the set of ideologies that they're trying to draw me into, they think are going to be good for me. But they really are going to cause damage. So I just want to clarify, this is usually not intentional. Like when it talks about an enemy here, I think most often it's hard to call your peer from school or something an enemy. I think that's maybe not an appropriate, you know, maybe nickname for them or something. But what I am saying is that though it's not intentional, it serves the same purpose. And this actually makes it really hard for us to detect. This really creates a blind spot for us. So 1 Corinthians 15:33 says this. This is an instruction from Scripture in regards to negative influence. Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. That word communications, it can be rendered relationships. And actually, that's probably the clearer, you know, contemporary form of that word. Manners, character. That would be a contemporary form of that same word. So I'm going to read it again with that in mind. Be not deceived. Evil relationships corrupt good character. This principle about negative influence, about the kisses of an enemy. And this isn't hurt, but it's harm. And this harm produces destruction. So look at the first one. The first one's hurt that produces restoration. Now we have harm that's producing destruction. And a biblical example of this would be, one of my favorites is Adam, Eve, and the serpent. When the serpent came to Eve and he was trying to influence her to eat this fruit, there was no harm, there was no hurt. I mean, when she took the bite of that apple, it was probably sweet. It was probably delicious. It was probably fantastic. But the reality is the damage that it caused, the harm that it caused was so significant that you and I feel it to this day. I mean, it's been resounding for that long. Okay, the third relationship is our relationship with our Creator. So I thought about this. This is an interesting one. And this would be a good one for to kind of think, contemplate in smaller groups after this. In our relationship with God, do we experience hurt? Do we experience harm? Or do we experience both? What do we experience in our relationship with our Creator? Hurt, harm, or both? So let's look at that. In God's love, some will experience hurt. In God's love, some will experience hurt. John chapter 15, verse number 2. Jesus is giving a picture of a husbandman who's tending to his vineyard. Or maybe it's a picture of a farmer tending to his orchard, right? And he says this, he says, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. So there's this picture of pruning. Now, I want you to imagine for a second that you are being pruned, the way a tree is being pruned. Probably a painful process. If a tree had feelings, if they had a voice, they would probably cry out in pain as you were pruning it. Because I want you to imagine that you're cutting off little branches and you're, you know, trying to take away the stuff that's dead to make room for stuff that's going to grow. You know, this is a painful picture. But yet, it's something that allows the tree to yield more fruit. This could be termed a good pain. This could be termed the wounds of a friend, is what you could call it. And in this type of hurt, there is God's purpose of realignment. And not just realignment, but growth. Okay, now here's this other side of the coin. In God's wrath. Okay, so the first one was in God's love, some experience hurt. In God's wrath, some experience harm. This is the less palatable truth of the gospel message. The one that sometimes is difficult for people to hear. Because they struggle to conflate this idea that God is love and he is also just. And because they struggle with that, they can't imagine that God is a wrathful God. Four verses down, John 15, 6, same analogy. This is what Jesus says. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. This concept of God's judgment is going to cause harm to those who do not abide in the relationship with Jesus Christ. This harm is for actually condemnation, but it's a direct consequence of our disobedience to God and our rejection of His Son, Jesus Christ. So in that regard, God in His interaction with mankind, He both causes hurt and He causes harm. And He actually causes hurt so that we wouldn't experience harm. So in conclusion, as we get kind of towards the end of this message here, in this life, it is inevitable that we are going to experience pain. Just a given. And the reality is that pain is going to come in many forms, both physically, mentally, emotionally, even spiritually. And it's important that we have an understanding of that pain, that we could deal with it properly. Sometimes we are tempted to ignore certain pains. Sometimes we want to take action. Well, how do you know what to do when you feel pain? It's important for us to distinguish between hurt and harm in our relationships. I'd like for you to think about a painful situation that you're going through right now. And maybe it's small, or maybe it's very significant. But I'm going to give you a minute, and just think about a painful relationship that you are going through. Or, you know, I'll give you a little bit of leeway. Maybe a relationship that you even are observing that has pain in it. A personal relationship, or maybe somebody that's maybe you're looking at someone else's relationships and it's causing you pain. I want you to think about an example, a situation that's relevant to you today on this topic. Just take a moment and think about that. Hold it in your mind. Now think about a couple questions. I'm going to give a couple questions. And maybe you're going to need to take some time to really contemplate this in your life. Here's the first one. Is hurt present in that relationship or harm? Does that relationship produce hurt, or is there hurt present, or is there harm? It's important to distinguish between the two. What is the purpose of that relationship, and what is it producing in your life? What is the purpose of it, and what is it producing in your life? Or in the life of somebody you're observing? Now, to distinguish between a relationship of accountability and a relationship of negative influence, are godly, biblical principles infused in this relationship? If the answer is no, or maybe, or kind of, then you're in relationship number two, a relationship of negative influence. If the answer is yes, you're finding yourself in a relationship of accountability. Remember, we talked about relationships of negative influence create blind spots. We can't see them because they come through the form of kisses. Yet, the relationship of accountability comes through the form of wounds. And yet, this proverb tells us that it's better for you to accept the wounds of a friend than the kisses of an enemy. The blind spot that is created in a relationship of negative influence is addressed in a relationship of accountability. I'm going to say that one more time. A relationship of negative influence is addressed and overcome by relationships of accountability. Because a relationship of accountability, even though it causes a wound, it helps us to see something we cannot see. It helps us to see a blind spot in our lives. The same blind spot that is often created in a relationship of negative influence. Because the negative influence doesn't come in a way that produces hurt. It comes in a way that produces harm. You know, brothers and sisters, I'm going to pause for a second. I'm going to go a little off course. And I'm going to say that as brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ who love one another and who care about one another, we cannot afford to write off relationships of accountability because we don't want to hurt somebody and simply allow them to continue to be negatively influenced until the harm compounds harm and results in destruction. We cannot afford to let that happen. And if we would stop thinking about it in terms of, you know, I love you so I don't want to hurt you, and I want to be careful I say this because, again, the point isn't that we go, you know, just guns blazing and giving, you know, admonition. But the point is, if we would stop thinking about it in that way and we would start thinking about it in the manner of, you know, I love this person and there is harm that is just compounding on harm and he or she doesn't even see it. I mean, if she or he doesn't see it, who's going to help them? If you and I are not that source of accountability, then we know what's going to happen. We've seen it happen. I'm sure every one of us has seen somebody compound harm upon harm leading up to destruction. Okay, so to go back, we've thought about a painful situation that we're experiencing, and now I want you to think about one more thing. I want you to think about your relationship with God. I want you to think about your relationship with the Creator now. And you have to be honest with yourself. We have to be transparent, because when we're not, you know, this entire message is going to go in one of your ears and out the other, and it's not going to produce anything. But when we are transparent with ourselves, there is opportunity for the Spirit to convict, to work, and for our lives to change. So think about your relationship with your Creator, wherever you stand. Maybe you've never felt closer to Him. Maybe you feel, you know, like it's just an up and down roller coaster. Maybe you feel like you've never been farther. But wherever you are, I have two questions. The first one is, are you experiencing hurt from God? And I'm going to ask it in a different way. Are you experiencing the chastening of the Lord? The chastening of God brings us hurt. Hebrews chapter 12 says this. It says, whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? Jumping to verse 11. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. It hurts. Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. This chastening hurts, but it brings about something beautiful. Are you experiencing hurt from the Lord? And if so, how will you respond? Second question is, how will you respond? Same chapter, Hebrews 12, verse number 12. The apostle encourages them to lift up the hands which hang down in feeble knees and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. What does this mean? What does this mean? This is talking about allowing yourself to be corrected for the purpose of healing. Because if you do not, this phrase, which in King James says, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, let me give you a picture of, that's kind of like you have a joint that's dislocated and you continue to walk on it. Let's say you have a dislocated knee, you continue to walk on it, which, by the way, is something that people with congenital insensitivity to pain will do. They'll break a bone and they'll continue to walk on it because they don't feel pain until the damage is so great that it cannot be fixed. This is that picture. Lest that which is lame be turned out of the way. You have something that's dislocated, but if you keep pressing this way, it is going to cause irreparable harm. So how will you respond? How will I respond when I am chastened of the Lord? It's my hope and prayer that as we've looked at Proverbs chapter 27, verse number 6, that we've looked at the faithfulness of wounds from a friend and contrasted that with the deceitfulness of the kisses of an enemy, that we would be grateful for wounds. You see, the aspect of receiving correction or receiving admonition or receiving accountability is I have to be open to receiving it. I have to be grateful for the wound. It's my hope and prayer that we would be grateful for the wounds from friends and that we would reject the deceptive kisses of our enemy. Amen.